This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora e ho mano mai hari mai ko hena tuku ingoa, and you're listening to That's The Ticket. Today I'm pleased to be welcoming a couple of cast members from One Question Theatre's upcoming production of Passion Fruits by Liam Hinton, which recently picked up the Adam NZ Award for Best Play. Nick and Ruby are here to tell me more about it ahead of their inaugural season at the Meteor Theatre this month. Kia ora team, welcome back to That's The Ticket. I think we established that you guys have been on together before.
Yes, indeed.
Quite some time ago, and it was for Liam's one of his first plays, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah. First original one, I think.
Yes.
On Travelling Backwards to Punish Ourselves as Ghosts.
Yes.
Yeah, we were both there for that.
The Dream Team back
Dream
again.
Team.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, One Question, I feel like I've been with, like, that theatre company since day one.
You have.
I know, and it's weird. It's kind of the gift of this voluntary job that I've given myself by hosting this free radio show here on Free FM. But, like, it's great that I get to kind of see people and, yeah, theatre collectives kind of grow. And, I mean, you know, what a journey it's been. Now, we've got an award-winning play hitting the Meteor very soon. And I'm really grateful that you guys were able to come in, because I'm pretty sure I talk about this every week, is that I always get guests when they're either on the precipice of, like, Tech Week, Production Week, or in the midst. And I'm just here being like, oh, cool, you got a show, that's fun. And you guys are like, what day is it, what time is it, where am I? But thank you for making the time, and you guys can probably guess my first question, which is going to be, like, Passion Fruits, when is it, where is it, what is it, how's the show feeling today, what's its favourite, like, colour or dessert?
I think dessert is obviously the Passion Fruit Pavlova.
Yeah.
Which is controversial, personally.
Why?
I think it's disgusting.
What part, do you not like Pav or do you not like Passion Fruit?
I don't like the Passion Fruit.
Okay.
But it's pretty.
It is good. It looks great.
It makes for a great poster.
The poster looks great.
We did it out the gate. Talked about a very visual thing on a very non-visual medium of communication. I guess I've kind of touched on the where you guys are opening at the Meteor, and you're running from the 20th to the 22nd of August, 7:30 p.m. shows.
Yes.
That's right.
We open next Thursday.
Oh, they grow up so fast, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And tickets are selling so well.
That's great.
Our opening night is nearly sold out, so we're so, so excited.
Well done, guys. Well done. If you want to get on the tickets before you even heard more about the show, pull your car over if you're driving, turn that engine off, then get your phone. Make sure cars in park first, actually. I'm miming the actions, everyone, by the way. Then get your phone and book those tickets. You can find out more at themeteor.co.nz. And, yeah, especially if you want to hit that opening night, you want to be quick, as Ruby's just kind of said. And, yeah, I mean, it's up to you guys who's going to tell me a little bit more about the play. It's at your own discretion how spoilery we get as well.
It's about a family.
Okay.
It is.
We're going broad.
Yeah. Well, it's about a family, and it's about family. It's, I guess we can talk about what was sort of announced in the blurb already. It was sort of, it's set during two Christmases that are set a decade apart.
Ooh.
And it's the same, like, family and group of characters.
Yes.
Across a big time period jump. And it's set in New Zealand, which I really like. It's interesting to be in a play that is very quintessentially New Zealand while also not really being a comedy, which is, I feel like, a little bit more rare. It's a fantastic script. Liam's an amazing writer and I think an even better director. And I'm not just saying that to flatter him. I mean, it's actually been a real joy being in this play. It's been so fun to just be in. just as a cast member. And it's felt like it's been very well handled from where I'm standing. I'm sure Ruby, who's been working a bit more back of house, can counteract my point if that's not quite true.
So
I'm sure it's been stressful.
I guess before we interrogate Ruby politely, Nick, so you're a cast, you're in the show.
Yes.
Who are you portraying in the show?
So my character is called Lance. Family is called the Ashford family. So he's Lance Ashford, and he's the middle of the three adult children in the family.
Okay.
So there's the mother and the father. There's the three adult children, and there's two grandkids. And then there's some partners thrown into the mix as well.
Nice.
And Lance is sort of the one in the family who has kind of managed to make a bit of money outside of the family. And he's got this interesting little mix of, like, he feels like he doesn't take things too seriously, but then he'll get a little slight and he'll take it very personally.
Okay.
And so he's sort of the sort of person who'll, you know, really sweep into the room and, like, capture everyone's attention and be like, hey, look at me, I'm here. And then something goes wrong and he's immediately in the corner, like, glaring daggers at people. So it's a really, really fun, interesting little character to play.
Yeah, especially because I know you quite well. I do know you quite well. No, I don't know why I hesitated. We've known each other for, like, probably at least a decade.
Yeah, it would have been a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least that.
That's bananas. We can unpack that off air, okay. I think. But, yeah, as someone who knows you, I think that's an exciting role for you.
Yeah, it's certainly I don't think I'm spoiling too much by saying this. It's the most, like, emotionally intense role I think I've done for a while, possibly ever.
I'm not saying that you're not a versatile actor, Nick, but, like, this is exciting.
I'm often, like, either cast as, like, a quiet or, like, if I'm angry, it's more, like, grumpy. But, like, this guy can get, like, he can turn on the fire pretty hard.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone in the family can. It's sort of that sort of play. Lots of things get thrown around. Basically, everything you can argue about at Christmas time, you'll see it in this play somewhere.
Okay. And we've almost argued about Passion Fruit on the Pav, yay or nay. Does this make it into the play?
Well, actually, in a weird way, yeah. Okay. It is Lance, who is a little bit perturbed about a passion fruit pavlova. He's a little mad about it.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Sit down, suck it up. No, yeah. I'm
He bought the thing.
Yeah.
He didn't complain about it.
Okay. Yeah, okay, there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, I know. Well, you have to come see it.
Good hard sell, Nick. Proud of you.
Thank you.
Ruby. So you're in the show, but you're doing something else? You're doing a little bit of some other mahi there?
Oh, yeah. Liam and I have been producing.
Okay, man.
Just the two of us.
Nice and chill.
Absolutely, yep. Team of two.
Yeah, great.
And some stragglers on the side. No, genuinely, it's been real, real hard work for the two of us. We work really well together, but we couldn't have done it without everyone else involved. We've had Colin, our cast member. He's been a huge help in helping building the set. Colin Hodkinson and his wife Chrissy, she's been coming in and prompting for us.
Oh, bless. Kia ora team.
It's so awesome to have a kind of third point of view there. We've also had some sponsors come on board to help us source set. The show is so ambitious. I don't know why Liam did this to me, but the set is two Christmas lunches, which includes two completely different kitchens and dining rooms. So we managed to get a sponsor on board to help us with one of the kitchens. Kitchen Inc. Wanted to join in, which is so cool when you can reach out to the wider community to, you know, get involved in something with a bit of gas behind it.
So they're
local in Hamilton, have built an entire kitchen for us. So
Shock Kitchen Inc.
Oh, love them. We couldn't have done it without them.
Yeah. All that and the kitchen sink, literally.
Yeah, oven, fridge, kitchen sink.
Yeehaw.
So that's been fantastic. But we've been working on this since January.
Yeah.
Okay.
Long rehearsal.
Don't know
and much needed.
Yeah. And so is it like you're in the show? Who are you playing in the show?
I'm playing Leah. So I am the wife of the oldest son of the adult children.
Okay.
Yep. Mother of the two grandchildren.
Right.
Yeah.
There must be a lot in your head at the moment.
There's a lot.
Because it's like you've got two different people in one person because you're like, you know, production management and then you're in the show.
Oh man, I can't sleep.
this is exactly what I'm talking about. How I always talk to people when they're like in the worst part of the show.
Yeah.
But then I always like to go see the show, and I'm like, oh, I saw you before, and now I see you now, and you're in. You made it through the other side, which is great. And it is kind of it's a labor of love.
Mm.
I think. And because both of you have been doing shows with One Question Theatre. You've both done a few, eh?
Yeah. This is only my second. The first one was On Travelling Backwards, which we mentioned earlier, and yes. I had just an acting part in that as well.
Oh, just.
But I've known, I've known Liam for ages. Yeah. I've known him for as long as I've known you, I think. I think I met him, I often tell the story about how he was the third person I met when I went to university.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I made a point of like trying to introduce myself to people just to start off on the right foot, and I just walked up to him outside of a screen and media class and was like, hi, my name is Nick, pleased to meet you.
Wow.
And we've been friends ever since, so you know.
Good job, Nick.
Yeah.
Again, you're really just giving it all that.
I am.
No, it's worth to live by.
It was a solid investment.
Story.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm doing cool stuff now. Yeah.
And okay, so I think I'm just getting you mixed up with Ruby, because you've been like, you were in the very first one, right?
Yeah.
No Exit?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is my our sixth show, my fifth. I was away for one of them.
Yeah, okay. You're allowed. It's all right.
Thank you. Yeah. I needed a break.
Fair.
But no, I'm really, really proud of us. We just keep going harder and harder, bigger and better.
Mm.
I don't know, we've been known for our kind of crazy tech.
Yeah.
I guess this one we have just pivoted to put a house on stage.
I feel like you guys just keep, I don't know if big is the right word, because it's not always bigger, but it's always just pushing it.
Definitely.
In a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I mean, where it's like, it's really nice to kind of see the growth, because, you know,
yeah.
I remember the No Exit and it was so fresh, and now it's great that you've kind of made it to this point. And, yeah, you know, having two kitchens in one theatre.
Yeah, and I mean, theatre, there's so much you can do with it.
Mm.
Why not try, you know?
Yeah,
especially in the black box.
Oh, exactly. Mm. No, and the Meteor is great. They've supported us the whole way through. You know,
yeah.
We couldn't have done it without this space. And like I said, it's been such a community effort. We've got Andrew and Mel from...
Magic Mirror. Yeah,
no, they're a huge help. And, you know, talking with Liam through the writing process and just having friends and that kind of same...
There's a lot of mime happening.
I just worked an 8-hour day.
Yeah, friends in the same kind of zone,
exactly.
Realm, community.
Yeah, and you know, we've all kind of been in this theatre community in Hamilton for so many years, and it's just awesome, all of us succeeding.
Yeah.
All of us just keep doing what we love.
We just keep hustling. And I mean, with this show, you're opening very soon. You're on the precipice. And I'm going to break for a song soon, because you guys supplied some music, so I got to make sure I play it. But, like, you've got quite a sizable cast. I guess going by previous shows, that I feel like I've seen shows where there's been, like, just four of you or something like that, whereas this you've got a bit more. And we can touch on it more after the song break. But... I guess, you know, it's just me kind of talking back to the whole it takes a village thing. Ruby, you mentioned you've been working on this one since January.
Mm.
And, you know, there's been that whole kind of huge part of it where it's like the writing process and then it getting nominated and winning a Adam NZ award for best play. So like it's been a roller coaster.
Absolutely.
And I do hope that you guys get the moment of just like, I just got to act now.
Yeah.
I just got to go on stage and do the thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as I said, we have said, Passion Fruits is running at the Meteor from the 20th to the 22nd of August, 7:30 p.m. shows. More info on tickets at themeteor.co.nz. And are there any, like, content warnings or anything we need to talk about?
Yes, it's a...
If there's swear words, please don't say them live.
I won't say them live. But it's being sort of put as for mature audiences. I mean,
okay.
It goes back to what I was saying. Like, it's everything that you would argue about at Christmas. I think we're not going to get too specific, because that's getting into more spoiler territory than we're willing to give away. But, like, you know,
You know your youth, you've been warned?
Yeah, yes. Pretty much.
Yes. Yep. Okay.
Definitely not for anyone below the age of, I think we've said 15.
Okay.
15, 16, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. And I think this, I've got a bit more understanding of why, I think you sent through this one, Nick. Christmas Will Break Your Heart, LCD sound.
Yes,
system.
I did.
Because it's set at Christmas time, I assume?
I suppose so, yeah. I did listen to it before I send it, but I thought the tone was pretty appropriate for the show.
Okay.
Especially it goes a bit mad at the end.
Spoilers, Nick. Anyway, just listen to this and you can be the judge of how mad it goes at the end.
Christmas will break your heart if your world is feeling small and there's no one on your phone. You feel close enough to call. And Christmas will crush your soul like that laid back rock and roll. But your body's getting old, and it's much too tired to be so bold. Christmas can wreck your head like some listless, awkward sex. So you refuse to leave your bed and get depressed when no one checks. Yeah, Christmas will break your heart like the armies of the unrelenting dark. Once the peace talks fall apart, but still so just lay back in the snow. But that quiet wind won't wake what inside you has grown cold. And Christmas will drown your love like a storm down from above on your fading memories of.
Christmas Will Break Your Heart, apparently, and potentially at Passion Fruits, which is coming to a Meteor Theatre near you. I don't know if that is apt for the play, because my two cast members who I've got in the studio today chose the route of zero spoilers, which I respect. You're allowed. But, you know, I got to keep pushing and being, you know, a cheeky radio host and trying to get as much tea here on TTT as I can manage. But if you're just joining us, I've got friends of the show, Nick and Ruby from One Question Theatre, kind of just telling me about Passion Fruits, a real labour of love. It's been kind of brewing since January. And a question I like to ask, especially because you've had quite a long rehearsal period, actually, when did you actually start rehearsing?
I think the actual rehearsals started in January.
Okay.
I think we had our first reading in December last year.
Okay, so...
So, yeah. That was, like, before the final version of the script was finalised and submit for the play.
And the writing itself was all of 2025.
Oh, crikey.
But, yeah, it's been rehearsed since January, and I feel like it's necessary. We started with the act that was, like, had the fewer people in it, and then we folded in the people that were only in one act for the remainder of the rehearsal. I think that's been 4 months for that act.
Okay.
And I think it's allowed us to make a lot of really interesting decisions about, you know, characters and relationships. One of the great things about this play is that I don't think there's any two characters, or at least not any two major characters, who don't have a very clear relationship that's established throughout the play. Like, anyone, pick any two characters that are on stage for more than, like, 20 minutes, and you've basically got, like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what this person's dynamic is with this other person.
Yeah.
And so having a long rehearsal process allows us to make interesting decisions about space. Like, if I'm standing on this side of the room and this person's on that side of the room, am I going to get any closer, or am I going to stay as far away from them as possible? That sort of thing. And just, like, spacing, balancing the stage. I don't know if we've shared this yet. Is it okay to say that it's in Traverse?
Absolutely.
Yes, the show is in Traverse.
How you just kind of mumbled it, even though you're still talking into a microphone?
I figured it was fine, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there was a discussion I missed. But no, the show is in Traverse, so audience one side, audience the other side.
Oh, now I really want to see your set.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I am excited to see it myself. I haven't had the privilege of seeing any of the plans or any of the stuff. I know I'm donating a table. One of the tables on stage will be mine.
I actually am very pleased to hear that, because we love the Meteor, and we love the Meteor green room and all the furniture it possesses. But don't bring it on stage. It belongs in that room. It doesn't belong on the stage. But I guess you kind of gave me a nice little segue there, Nick, when you were talking about how you brought in some of the cast later in the piece. And ahead of that song break, I was asking how many cast members you've had, and we've had a little bit of a team discussion on this.
Mm-hmm.
And we can confirm that is it 10, 11?
11 plus an extra cast member doing a voiceover.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice.
11 and a half.
And, you know, Nick, you're talking about how long the rehearsal period has been and you've all been working together. The show is based around a family and two family Christmases 10 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
Do we feel like a family now after spending so much time together?
Yeah, I think so.
I'd say so.
Oh, no. I don't know if Ruby's matched the vibe.
Well,
safe space. Spill the tea.
Well, the idea for this play came from me complaining about my family Christmas.
Okay.
So I'd believe that.
I guess my experience is probably isn't exactly what's happened. The rehearsal room is fantastic. Everyone is lovely. We all know each other so well. We've got two young actors with us and they laugh and tease us and they just bring us so much joy. And we've got all the different generations in the room. It's a fantastic family. I would love for that to be. I would love to stay in that family forever. On stage, though.
I mean, you've come close. You've had, we're in August, you've had, you know, 8 months. That's not bad. Not bad. And I guess I'm not going to make you name all the cast members, because I feel like once you get more than six, it just gets hard. I mean, that's up to you if you're up for the challenge. I've had people in, like, you know, musicals name every single person. I'm like, guys, I need time to talk. This radio show is about me. But I've lost my original point now, actually. Oh, no, I found it again. Here we go. Live radio, guys, you can't beat it. But so, you know, you've got quite a sizable cast and you've been working on this thing for 8 months now. And we're on the precipice of hitting the stage. Are you guys ready to get on stage? Because with such a long rehearsal period with the same people in the same room, Nick, you kind of alluded to that this isn't a comedy, but the example I always use is it's like, do you get to a point where you're just like, are these jokes funny? Is this even hitting? Because everyone is just fully immersed in this thing for so long. I don't know if I've made sense with this question. But, like, yeah, are we ready to move into the next phase, I guess, is what I was taking a really long way to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think so. I think it needs some fresh eyes on it. It's a lot to keep bottled up.
Yes.
It's really explosive. Mm. And I think, like, I'm not so worried about the idea of, like, is this moment going to be effective? Is this going to come across to the audience? Because it keeps effect. Every new person we bring in to look at it, whether it be the stage manager or, like, a person who's helping us with rehearsals for this reason or another, they all come in and they're like, oh, wow, I was not expecting it to go as far as it did. I think audiences are going to really take to it.
And with your guys' cast, obviously both you two have previously been in One Question theatre shows and other shows. I mean, you guys are no strangers to the Hamilton stage. Have we got some more familiar faces in the cast? Like people have previously worked with One Question?
We do.
I know that you've got newbies with the, you've got some tamariki involved.
Yes, yes, indeed.
We do. Violet and James. Love them. Mm. Light of my life, the twinkle in my eye, my two beautiful children. We've got Tracy Slaughter back again On Travelling Backwards.
Yes.
Oh, she's a knockout. She is crazy.
Marathon of a performance as well.
Absolutely.
I think she probably takes the crown for the most, like, words spoken in the play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has some pretty intense stuff.
Yeah.
And she handles it very well.
We've also got Hannah Rose Cook.
Friend back of the show, Kia ora.
Yes, beautiful, from our very first show in Alexit.
Yes,
again. We have Andrew Lyle, who was also in our very first show, helping out the lighting desk.
Yes.
Thank you very much. So those are all of our returns.
It's great that you've got a bit of a mix. Is it nice?
Yeah.
Kind of, I hate myself saying it, but getting some kind of new blood, fresh meat.
Mm.
In the kind of company, as it were. It's always good. And I'm picking up on what you're unintentionally putting down there, Nick, when you're talking about how Tracy's got quite a lot of lines. And whenever I have actors in the studio, I always like to ask the question, and this is one that you guys weren't briefed on, so surprise. But line learning, do we have any methods that we want to share? Because you never know what you're going to get when you ask this question, and I've had some interesting stuff. Ruby, you're already reacting in a way where I want to ask you, so please, sis.
I rap my lines to myself.
You're not the first person to say that on That's the Ticket.
Oh, I don't know. You know, lyricism, movement, rhythm.
Do you have a backing track? Do you actually have a backing track?
No, I don't. I'm not that committed.
Okay.
But Nick is the king. I think Nick has had his lines down.
I think you've had your lines down about as long as I have. I think we sort of both matched it pretty well. It gets a little lost because you're sort of more in a relative co-directing role, so you don't get as many compliments, but which is very unfair.
Let's give her some now.
Yeah, good, Ruby, good job.
Yeah, good job, Ruby.
Good job on learning all those lines.
Yeah, well done.
But my strategy is to just read them over and over, and if I make a mistake, I go back to the start. That's been my strategy pretty much as long as I've been acting. And like I have so many in this one that I kind of cheat slightly. I'm like, okay, I won't go back to the start. I'll go back to the start of the act, maybe.
I love how everyone gets real honest on That's the Ticket, eh? You could literally say anything you want, but you're like, you know what, Hannah? Full truth.
Full truth. No, I've been doing it during like break times at work, and I've had a friend of mine who's like, you know, you get too familiar with the script, you start paraphrasing.
Yeah.
So I gave him my script, and I'm like, don't let me say a single word out of place, because it's important.
Yes, you got to honour the text, right?
Yeah, of course. And a lot of it's poetry in places. If you've seen On Travelling Backwards, you know the sort of language that gets used in places.
It's
not quite as, I guess, esoteric is the word. It's a little bit more grounded, because it's got this more like consistent core of being about this one family who are actually there, actually talking to each other during a Christmas lunch or two Christmas lunches. But there are definitely moments where it sort of breaks and gets a little weird in a very classic one question.
You were going to say
way.
No exit.
No exit way. Well, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, similar vibe. Probably similar vibe, actually, if you're familiar with No Exit. But I guess, you know, circling back, Ruby, you said that this is kind of based on Christmases that you've experienced, and we're not going to deep dive into that. But do you think that, you know, Nick, at the start when we were talking about like what the play is about, you were talking about how it is set in New Zealand and it's not a comedy.
Correct. We're piecing it together bit by bit.
Yes. but would we say that there is light and dark, like it's not all...
Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. There's a lot of light, and probably one of the most beautiful moments at the very end of the first act.
Okay.
Between Tracy and Colin, the matriarch and patriarch of the family.
Oh, yeah. When they first rehearsed that, it just killed us.
I cried.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Man, I'm on the cusp of tears. No.
Yeah.
Ruby looks like you're considering it, to be honest.
I've cried so much.
That's okay.
The show. From pure exhaustion.
Yeah. But do you think there's a kind of relatability? I don't know if that's a word, but...
Absolutely.
You know.
We were... When Liam wrote the play, we were like... Do we have it in us to do this?
Yeah.
And I just keep thinking every single person that comes into that theatre is going to be able to resonate with someone on that stage, you know. Mother, middle child, awkward, disconnected teenager.
Yeah.
Older parents watching their children, like, move on and live their lives. It's so real. It's real down to earth. Maybe a little bit more dramatic than what your normal Christmas dinner might be. But I think everyone's going to be able to come out of that room with something to take home and think about.
And I think this is something that, and again, I'm not an expert, I'm just a podcast host, but like with New Zealand-made, whether it's film or theatre, there's always just something where they just do it, where it's that light and dark, where it all... like make your heart sing and we'll break it in like the same breath. And I think it's something we do really well, and especially with film. And I always use the example of Boy, right? Like it's a comedy, but it like rips you to pieces at the same time. And so I think it's just something, I don't want to claim it, but it's a very Kiwi thing that I think I have experienced. But now I'm going to stop talking, because I do need to fit in a important segment that you guys may remember. It's time for Rick's Pick. Yes, the size of recognition. But the way this works is that I have an Uncle Rick. He is a great listener of radio, great listener of music, has listened to every single episode of That's the Ticket.
Nice.
And 270 episodes ago, congrats, guys. Uncle Rick was like, hey, Hannah, here's a list of songs that I like. And each week you can pick a song from the list and we'll play Rick's Pick. And every week I do. And not one person asked, but I now have decided that the songs that I pick from the list have to like relate to the people I'm talking to or what we're talking about. And... okay, so because it's set at Christmas time, I've gone for a song by Howlin' Wolf called Going Back Home, because it's set at, you know, family homes, Christmas time. So I'm like, yeah, I get a bit English, you say, with the link sometimes, but I don't know if the song itself is on brand with the play, but the title is, so I did my homework, and, you know, the most important thing is that we play a pick for Uncle Rick. So this one's for you, mate. We'll be right on back.
Well, I'm
That was this week's Rick's Pick, Going Back Home by Howlin' Wolf, loosely related and linked to Passion Fruits, which is coming to a, well, premiering at the Meteor Theatre, 20th to 22nd of August. I've got Nick and Ruby from the cast, and I mean, Ruby's doing a little bit of everything else as well. I love how you waved on radio.
Doing jazz hands.
Oh, okay.
Doing jazz hands.
Thank you for the subtitles. The listeners appreciate it. But you guys have been, as you're allowed, keeping a lot of info close to your chest. So I'm going to give you one last poke. If there's anything else you want to share about the play, we know that you've got an incredible set. We know it's in Traverse. We know it's following a family at Christmas with a 10-year gap in between. Any other kind of little tidbits you want to spill?
Yes. Okay. So, well, okay. In the first act, it's set in 2009.
Great year.
Not a great year for this family because this was right after the financial crisis.
Okay. Take it back.
Which is a major issue for this family because they're living in a home that was constructed by Roy, the patriarch of the family.
Oh, okay.
And it's not holding up so well after an entire lifetime of living there.
Okay.
And so there's this hard issue just sort of at the core of this little meeting where everyone's a bit like, is it really okay for our family to still be in this house when it's falling apart and everyone's getting older?
Yeah, fair.
So that's a huge like motivating part of the first act.
And then the play really builds from there.
Yeah, it builds from there, and it's sort
unintended,
of
unintended because
it does
the house.
It's sort of a lot of groundwork is laid in the first act, which
proud like, of you
leads into the second act, where you're like, how did the family come to this? And it's like, oh, yeah. If we really think about what we saw in the first act, how could the family not have come to this?
And so, is the time jump forwards and backwards between Act One and Act Two?
It's a single time jump forward. So Act One is 2009 and it jumps forward to 2019.
Okay, sweet. You're allowed. I was like, oh, imagine if it's like super non-linear and then they go back. And I'm like, yeah. But I will accept the jump forward. And with the kind of scene that you've set in Act One, I imagine that jump's going to have some weight to it, right?
Yeah, lots of things change between the, well, I mean, 10 years, a lot of things will change, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's sort of...
As actors, I like thinking about your performances, like you're playing a role at one age and then 10 years older, like that's significant.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, my character goes from being 30, which is pretty much the age that I am, to being 40. And so, you know, we have to make decisions about like how you're going to carry your body.
Yes.
Sort of like I've lowered my gesture line. I haven't discussed any of this with the director, so hopefully it sticks.
I'm glad but he hasn't discussing had any, it with me.
Well, he hasn't had anything to say about it, so I'm assuming it's fine.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he would have asked me to change it already. But like my gesture line was a lot higher in the first act, and then it's a lot lower in the second act.
Yeah.
Because just everything's heavier, you know, and I like... sort of plot around the stage a bit more with a little less energy.
Okay.
You know, because 30 to 40 is an interesting jump because not a lot changes in terms of your body, but everything just gets heavier.
I mean, I'll let you know in 10 years, Nick.
Yeah.
Let's revisit this.
In 10 years, well, I'll know too.
We'll know. So, oh gosh. And I guess, Ruby, anything you want to add on this one?
I've been working on deepening my tone of voice.
Okay, great.
Like this now, because I usually talk like this.
Yeah.
And that doesn't sound like a 40-year-old.
No, and it's that whole added layer of portraying someone or an experience that you haven't lived in your own life. I mean, yes, that is kind of the basis of acting, pretending. So, and I don't doubt your ability, but yeah, I imagine, again, just as a podcast host, not an actor, happily retired actor. but, like, it kind of just adds another layer, right?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah.
I have to play a mother.
Yeah.
I'm no one's mum.
Not with that attitude, no. But, yeah, I mean, you spoke quite highly of the tamariki that you're working with, so hopefully that helps. Maybe they can give you some tips. I don't know.
We did a run in costume and Violet was like, yeah, you do look older.
Nothing like the honesty of a child.
Thank you.
That's great. Yeah, take the win, take the win. Yeah. And I know that the focus today has been on passion fruits, but I wouldn't be who I am on That's the Ticket if I didn't ask if anyone has any other upcoming projects that they can talk about or want to talk about. Anything else on the books, or is this just the entirety of life right now?
I'll go first because my answer is very quick. Not at the moment. Not in any shows at the moment. I've been kind of singularly devoted to this. Pushing it to everybody who I work with. Come see it. It's great, I promise you.
Yeah.
Ruby, are you up to anything?
No, it's just been such a huge presence.
I mean, you probably deserve a break at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm jet-setting 3 weeks after the show finishes.
Yeah, okay. Bye. Good job.
Yeah, well-deserved holiday. Nothing in the future. I have had to turn down helping my friend's junior show with Hamilton or Waikato Actors Training.
Yes.
I did it last year. It was so much fun, but I think that's what's in the future for me after that.
Yes.
Giving back a little bit more, getting involved in the backstage and the support, especially with the kids. It's so fulfilling.
Yeah.
And they're all just so gorgeous.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's the future for me. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, are you talking about the Wally Pug of Why, which is coming up? I think if you keep listening to That's the Ticket, you might hear more on that one soon.
Absolutely.
Winky face. Cool. Okay. Well, then I might just segue into other upcoming events so you guys can just chill out. Or if there's anything you want to plug, feel free to politely interject. So here's some of the cool creative happenings coming up in Kirikiriroa, Hamilton, in the not-so-distant future. So if you haven't heard, Passion Fruits is running at the Meteor from the 20th to the 22nd of August. 7:30pm shows. More info and tickets are available right now at themeteor.co.nz. Just forgot how to say URL. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, tickets are selling, fam, especially if you're keen on that opening night. So, like, you know, don't sleep on it. Just go book your ticket. We love people who book in advance here on That's the Ticket. Over at Clarence Street Theatre, Tofika, fresh since ages ago, is in on the 22nd of August with a 7:30pm show. More info on tickets at Ticketek. And over at the museum, open late at the museum, is running on the 26th of August. The museum will be open until 9pm with drinks, nibbles, panel discussions and more. You can find out more at tefaritonga.nz. And then up the road at the BNZ Theatre, NZO Myths and Legends is coming through on Sunday the 23rd of August with a 2pm show. More info on tickets at Ticketek. Whew. I always like to finish that one by saying that I'm not the definitive guide to all the cool stuff happening around, because, like, there's so much. So, you know, support your mates like Nick and Ruby and go see their shows. Support the venues that you love. Volunteer your time. Volunteer your money. Koha is always welcome, especially in community spaces like the Meteor, where you can see Passion Fruits very, very soon. And one last kind of question. Well, I've got a couple, actually. The first one is, so you guys are on the precipice of opening.
Mm-hmm.
As actors, opening night, closing night, which one will you save from the burning building?
Wow.
That's a good question.
It's a good one, eh?
Yeah.
As an actor.
Yeah.
Closing.
Okay.
I feel like that's our reward.
Yeah.
You know, let actually, it all I agree. Hang loose. Leave it all on the floor, mop it all up afterwards and pack out.
Okay.
I really enjoy that process, especially mopping the floor.
Yeah.
I love good, honest hard work.
Okay. They'll love you down at the Meteor then. If you haven't mopped that floor, guys, they're always looking for volunteers. Find out more at themeteor.co.nz.
I have mopped that floor.
Yeah.
It is very rewarding.
I've painted it too. It's a good time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
You got to be a big dog to get there.
Maybe one day.
Goals.
But okay, so we're both going closing night.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's just you get the jitters opening night. It's like, oh, okay, it's a little. But closing night's that's the victory lap.
See, as a non-actor, as an audience, I'm opening night because I'm like, this is for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Your biggest concern is me right now, and you know, because everyone's just back there being like, say it correct, get it correct, do this right.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you're right in that final night is that victory lap, as it were. But, I mean, when we're talking to people from One Question Theatre, I have no doubt that every night of this season is going to be, you know, exactly the same. Everyone's going to get the same But slightly, well, I mean, no show's the same, right? Everyone's going to get, you know, a high caliber show, because I feel like One Question, you guys are renowned for literally just leaving it all out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of my mates are coming on the second night, so that's first, second, and third night are all very important to me.
Yeah.
For very different reasons.
Yeah. Every night's important when it's, you know,
when it's a limited
level.
Season.
Yeah. Limited season. But, and then my last question, and I'm not sure if you guys have been in since I've added this question, but you've spent the last kind of 45 minutes here with me on TTT, giving me the tea, the inside scoop on passion fruit.
Oh, I think I do know this question. Mm-hmm.
It's how do you take your tea, fam? Do you drink tea?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, tell me about it.
Milk?
The mime is out the gate, yeah.
And a third of a sugar.
Oh, that's, I feel like, have I asked you this before?
Yeah.
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 I remember that, third of the sugar.
And my favourite tea is New Zealand breakfast.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's right, it's coming back to me now. Yeah. Oh, the third of a sugar.
Mm.
Oh, did I give you shade about that last time?
I mean,
at that
not
point,
enough, clearly, I haven't stopped.
Yeah, at that point, I'm like, just, what, do you even need it?
Yes.
That's such a small amount of sugar.
Just a little bit, just enough.
Like the idea. I reckon I could pretend to put it in there and you'll be like, yeah, I can taste it.
Perfect. Lovely brew.
I mean, you're allowed. You're
Thank
allowed.
You.
Nick, do you drink tea?
I don't, but actually since the last time you asked me this question, I did have a nice chai that was given to me. I know. What?
A single chai.
I had one chai. Look, I don't drink tea.
2022.
No.
Today.
Well, I mean, if you don't drink tea, you don't have a lot of reasons to drink tea. And so, like, it was just a random happening. Somebody had some tea at work just in a flask and they shared it with me and it was actually quite nice. And I'm like, I should become a tea drinker now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I should. It was like an Indian, like, chai tea with, like, cinnamon.
Okay.
Cinnamony goodness. I don't know if, like, Indian chai tea is supposed to have cinnamon in it. I'm not a tea drinker. But the point is, it was very nice. So I've evolved slightly from that one fruit tea I drank last time you asked me this question.
Next time you're on the show, can I have another kind of instalment in your journey, please?
You need to bring me back so we can get the whole trilogy. So we had fruit tea, and then we had an Indian chai, and I don't know, who knows what it'll be next time.
World's your oyster.
Yeah, world's your oyster. But, yeah, time's really getting away on us, and I do want to play this last song because it's a Ruby pick, I believe. It's a Cat Power track.
Yes.
Metal Heart.
It was picked for the kind of advertisement of my character's little poster profile.
Mm.
Leah, the wife of Sean, the oldest son.
Mm.
She's a really sad and kind of simple character, but she's like every third woman you see on the street, you know.
Mm.
Her story is quite heartbreaking, and this song is a little bit too, but hopefully it'll set the tone, prepare yourself, bring your tissues, but I think you'll have a great time.
Well said.
Come see the show.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Thank you, team, for taking the time. I know it's a busy, like, time for you both, so thank you for, you know, stopping by the studio today. And to my lovely listeners, you can bet I'll be back soon with a fresh episode of That's the Ticket. But until then, this is Metal Heart.
Trying to prove I had. will take a very violent flight, and you will be changed in everything, and you will be in a very sad, sad suit. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now
Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.